ज्ञानशरीरान्तस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाय चक्षुर्निरीक्षं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमानवविश्वं स्थापितं येन गुरुतले स्वयं रूपकदामायां ददाति स्वापदान्तिकम् ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनीति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणि प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादि पश्चात्यदेशचारिणे वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे. It is a great privilege for me to be here with all of you to celebrate His Holiness Indradyumna Swami Maharaj's Vyas Puja. Maharaj sent me a letter some weeks ago informing me that he was going to be celebrating his Vyas Puja in Dallas over the Memorial Day weekend, and saying that he hoped that I didn't have any other plans. Actually, I had planned to attend the Prabhupada Festival in Los Angeles over the Memorial Day weekend. And then the next part of the sentence read, "And if you do have any plans, I hope you can change them." So, you know, I thought for a minute, and I concluded, yes, I must go. It's so rare that Maharaj asks anything like that. But more than that, I thought of all the times that he extended himself for different godbrothers of ours when they needed his help. And of course, he's extended himself for me so many times, but in extraordinary ways he would extend himself. Like when our godbrother, His Holiness Sridhar Swami Maharaj, was traveling from Vancouver to Mayapur for the last time, Maharaj joined him and escorted him all the way to Mayapur. And another time when our godbrother Bhaktivrinda Govinda Swami was having difficulty with the government of Kazakhstan, Maharaj went to New Delhi to be with Maharaj to help him deal with the government to try to get some support in the struggle with the government of Kazakhstan. So I thought this was the example that he showed. And I remember, I think, I don't know if it was he who said it or maybe Shivaram Swami who said it about Maharaj, but this is what Krishna consciousness is. This is what Krishna consciousness is all about. Being there for each other. In my own case, I was engaged by
wife, Srila Prabhupada, naturally not only had a lot of personal association with him, but was constantly guided by him in personal ways. And when Srila Prabhupada left, of course, that raised the question of where I would get personal guidance. But from even before Srila Prabhupada left, I got a lot of personal guidance from his own Krishna Goswami. For me, he embodied love of Prabhupada and service to Prabhupada. And almost from, well, definitely from when we were serving Prabhupada together, especially in Prabhupada's last year in India, he was always helping me understand how to please him and develop my relationship with him. And then after he left, you know, there was a really big void. And of course, Indradubha Swami and I had been serving together, but especially at that time when my health didn't allow me to travel much, Maharaj became a very important guide and inspiration. And one of Srila Prabhupada's instructions to me was to write. I'm discussing a little about the principle of Shiksha Guru that some of our godbrothers mentioned. And I'll read one or two quotations and explain how Maharaj has fulfilled that role for me. This is from a letter by Srila Prabhupada. One who teaches can be treated as spiritual master. So if we take instruction from them, all senior godbrothers may be treated as guru. There is no harm. Actually, you have only one spiritual who initiates you, just as you have only one father. But every Vaishnava should be treated as Prabhu, master, higher than me. And in this sense, if I learn from him, he may be regarded as guru. It is not that I disobey my real spiritual master and call someone else as spiritual master. That is wrong. It is only that I can call spiritual master someone who is teaching me purely what my initiating spiritual master has taught. So one of Srila Prabhupada's instructions to me was to write. But because I was always so busy traveling, preaching, managing, meeting with devotees and so on, I never really fulfilled the instruction as I should have. But Maharaj really appeared to me, you could say, on behalf of Srila Prabhupada, and strongly encouraged me to write and to organize my affairs, especially to give clear priority to my health and my writing. There's another quotation that I'll read, a very short quotation from Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur that also helps explain the principle of how I saw Maharaj. This is Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati speaking. My Gurudev is residing in many different personalities. If he does not reside in many different personalities, then who will protect me? Those whom my Gurudev considered close to him are my saints. But I hope I never have to see the face of such vessels as those who have criticized the lotus feet of my Gurudev, or those who have somehow supported such criticism. So, his holiness in the Gurudev was certainly in that category of being close to my Gurudev. She was all that. So, he is my savior, literally. For the last several years, Maharaj has followed the pattern that after Guru Purnima he would come to Karthacharya and spend a little time with me, and then we would go to the beach for the annual Guru Purnima festival. And then he would come back for the month of May and for the month of June. He would spend a month to sort of rejuvenate himself for the Polish festival tour. And of course, I, as somebody has said, I could say so much, but I'll just focus on one incident. Maharaj's health was not so good last year. He was starting to, have some difficulties and consult doctors. Came early and stayed longer. But, you know, devotees wanted association. You know, I asked Maharaj, I said, well, instead of our going somewhere, why don't we just have a festival here? So we had a nice festival for Raghunath Das Goswami's Hanihati Chittadani festival. But because it would have fallen late in the week, we had it on the weekend. It's usually just after Pandavanirjalakadasi, but we moved it earlier. So it was a nice festival, and then 2 days later was Pandavanirjalakadasi. So I went up to Maharaj's room, and I just started chanting japa with him, and we were both chanting japa together. And then, you know, maybe 10 or 11 o'clock, he decided to do his puja. And as he was doing his puja, practically from the beginning, I was overwhelmed. It was as if Krishna, Prabhupada, removed a little of the veil that could tend to cover or hide Maharaj's glories. And I mean, I knew it as I had so many such revelations, but this was extremely powerful. How dear he is to his deities. And he had a lot of deities. I can't even say, Nishingadeva, and Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, many different types of Shivas, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the form of his cloth, and Shiva Prabhupada, Shiva Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. It's like the whole spiritual world was there. And as he was worshiping them, I could just see that he was worshiping them with pure love. And they were in ecstasy, receiving his service that was offered in pure love. And of course, his whole life is an offering. As we've been hearing, his love and care for the children, spreading of the holy name, the celebrating of festivals, his care and affection for his god brothers, his worship of his deities, his love for Vrindavan, the example he's setting of going to Vrindavan and absorbing himself in chanting and hearing and reading and praying. He's truly an exemplary child. And someone that we can follow completely. And, usually when we chant 64 rounds or whatever it is, experience builds up, and then at the end, often it's happened, like round 58, 60, 62. But here, I think I was only up to 32, and I had this massive inundation of mercy by Maharaj's grace. And I didn't have any such plan, but I just decided I'm not going to leave that room. That room is the spiritual world. I might not be able to appreciate it, but that room is the spiritual world. So I'm just going to stay there. And I did. It wasn't a plan, but it was sort of like, all right, we'll do another eight. Okay, all right, I'll do another eight. All right, do another 16. So, I ended up, I'm saying this by my mercy, so I ended up chanting 2 lakhs names, 64 times 2 lakhs. It was also part of the mercy of the festival that Maharaj encouraged us to perform, because Raghunath Das Goswami, he would chant 2 lakhs a day. So that was also part of his mercy for glorifying him. And mainly Maharaj's mercy. So coming back to the writing. So I've been writing, but I wasn't paying any attention to publishing. Writing, barely writing, and no books were coming out. So Maharaj started to get on my case. You know, what's happening? Where's the books? So I said, you know, I'm writing, but I don't know, it's just such so troublesome to actually publish it, you know. He said, well, you don't do, you know, he told him what was up on my mind. He said, you don't do those things. You just get a publisher. You know, why don't you have a Dwight from Torchlight publisher? You know, so, you know, I did what he said, and I'm definitely one of those who's benefited by doing what he said, like all of you. It's really worked miracles. So then, everything was going along, and we just did it, and then we had to decide how many to. So, you know, the boy just said, well, 3,000, 2,000 or 3,000, that's about all you can do in the devotional market. And it's. But I asked around different devotees in different places how many they thought they could do, and it was already 3,000. So it seemed like we should print more and do a second one in America. But I just became fraught with doubts. No, I was just fraught with doubts. What is the use of this? No. What's the use? I'm going to end up promoting my books when I could be promoting Prabhupada's books. What is the value of my books? And then I think if I print all these extra, if I have a second print in America, there's going to be so many copies. I'm probably going to have to travel to promote them, and I don't know if I can physically sustain it. I will end up with so many copies left, and I was just totally bewildered. So I thought, that's one good thing, you know, in states of bewilderment, I usually get an inspiration of who to consult. So I suddenly had a revelation, oh, I should just phone him to do this. You know, he'll give me the answer. And it's not always that easy to get. Anyway, I got him. He was surprised. He said, how did you find me? But I knew I had. So I told him my doubts, and he said, Maharaj, Prabhupada ordered you to write. Now, he didn't mean for you to write manuscripts and then keep them in the drawer of your desk. You know, he asked you to write so that you would publish the books and then distribute them. Made sense. But still, I was doubtful because of what about Prabhupada's books? Then he said that your books are all about Prabhupada. By reading your books, people will want to come closer to Prabhupada and they'll want to read his books more seriously. So it will actually encourage people in their relationship with Prabhupada and their appreciation of his instructions and desire to learn from him. So that, it made sense. I mean, it was a compelling argument. And now that, you know, that has come up. And another thing he said, I know it's like that when you preach or say something in public, you're usually tested on it. So it's very sort of risky. So I know that I'm taking that risk, but I want to be in that position. Maharaj said, you know, you shouldn't be known just as a writer, but you should be known as a prolific writer. So now I have that, but I do have faith in the principle that with the instruction of the Guru comes the potency to follow it. So I'm, I'm counting on this, and it's in direct pursuance of Srila Prabhupada's direct instruction to me. So he perfectly fits the definition of guru, instructor, prabhu, master. And so I'm very happy to be his servant, eternal servant. I've always had the conviction that our relationships are eternal. We're serving Srila Prabhupada, and when we go to the spiritual world, we'll be with him, and we'll be with each other. So Maharaj is taking many, many souls back to Godhead. We can't count, we can't imagine. Taking hundreds and thousands of souls back to Godhead. And so if I can just, assist him a little in his huge service, his tremendous effort, I think Prabhupada will be pleased, and my life will be a success. Thank you very much. Maharaj wanted me to tell a story about our pact. We do have a very solemn and sacred pact, which I have mentioned on occasion, but he wants to mention it now. One thing I should say is that there's a difference between following in the footsteps and imitating. And I've been with Maharaj on a number of occasions when I've learned that I cannot imitate him. And one context in which I've learned that lesson enough times that I don't try to imitate him is in the matter of honoring prasad. He relishes prasad with such gusto that you get in the mood, but we don't all have the same capacity. Once we were invited to the house of a couple in Durban, Sri Hari and Anuradha, very nice devotees. And they were very sneaky in serving the prasad. They would serve it in such a way that you thought that that was all there was. So you figure, okay, well, that's all. We'll fill up on this. Then they bring in something else. Oh, one more? All right, we'll fill up on it. Whatever the room is left, we'll fill up on that. And more and more. And I was like, I was agonizing. And I said to Maharaj, I don't know if I can keep this up. I don't know what the consequences will be. And Maharaj said, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, one should not eat too much or eat too little. Today we are focusing on not eating too little.
Thank you.
years earlier, when we were in Mauritius together, another couple invited us for prasad. Sri Ketu Prabhu, who's been the temple president of the farm there for many years, and his wife, Radhika. So, Radhika is an expert cook. I mean, really. And so, it became a competition whether she could feed us more than we could eat, or whether we could eat more than she could feed us. And it was really, it was a really fierce competition. And we were younger then. We could eat more, even I could. But that wasn't enough. Maharaj, it became like one of those festivals, like the Panihati festival, like anyone who participates gets a benediction. So as we were eating more and more, and becoming more and more delirious, as someone said, Maharaj is both sober and joyful. So that day we were concentrating on being joyful. And in our state of ecstatic delirium, we made a pact. The pact was that Maharaj would not go back to Godhead without me. Well, the other part, I mean that, anyway, the other part was that I wouldn't go back to Godhead without him. And that, although we were in a mood of high ecstasy, but it was a really serious path. It was like, you know, he put out his hand, I put, like, you know, you shake on a deal, so I shook on it, and he put his other hand, and I put my other hand, and it was a very solemn and sacred, very blissful and ecstatic hand. And so now, you know, whatever it is, I have those words of Maharaj. I mean, obviously, that this one was a good deal for me. So I have those words of Maharaj's, and I mean, what would it be going back to Godhead without him anyway? What would it be being in the material world without him? So, so he's already back to Godhead. Everyone knows he's already back to Godhead, but I guess somehow he's pulling me along. Is that thank you.